Welcome to Nonprofits. It's May 17th, 2017. My name is Atif.
I'm Robert.
I'm Scott.
We are, today's word is overtaken by events, today's phrase, because it seems like every time before the podcast we chat and we were sort of catching each other up on the news of the day because it's been a very eventful day. And even though we are all news junkies, we all knew something that the other person didn't know. And it feels like every day is like that. And in fact, I was thinking before the podcast, I wanted to ask you guys an event, a non-politics related event, and just see when you thought it occurred. Because it feels like now, like Carrie Fisher, do you guys realize that she died 2 years ago? And it's not true, but it kind of feels like it's true. And I was thinking, like, what happened over the last 5 months? And I can't, like, it's all politics. I cannot think of anything else that occurred within the last 5 months. And I know other stuff must have occurred.
I'm a lot older than I was. Like, I think my telomeres are substantially shorter.
Yep. So if you were age, if someone actually genetically tested you, they'd be like, you have the body of a 70-year-old.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm getting gray hairs like Obama.
That's what I was going to say. I have this impression that after this presidency, the country is going to be all gray haired and slumped over, and the president's going to be fine.
And there'll be no more Medicare.
There will be. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No,
we'll be fighting for ourselves.
So that's something I'm not afraid of anymore.
Death?
No. I never was. But no more Medicare. Because I think they're not going to get anything done.
I think that's true.
So I had this conversation with someone today. So Robert Mueller, special counsel, appointed today. Do you think that...
Found it out 15 minutes ago.
What's that?
And I found that out 15 minutes ago when I woke up.
Okay, so let's run down the list of stuff we learned today.
Every day you wake up and it's like, what fresh hell is this? There's probably breaking news right now. Like, I'm going to keep refreshing Google News.
There is absolutely breaking news right now. So MacArthur, House Majority Leader, it was reported today in the Washington Post and a couple of other places that a year ago, he had said in a conference with Paul Ryan and some other Republican leaders that he thought Trump was being paid by Putin, was on Putin's payroll.
Who said this?
MacArthur. No, not MacArthur. I'm sorry, McCarthy. The House Majority Leader. Isn't that right? McCarthy? Kevin McCarthy? I forget what his first name is.
Yeah, I think it's Kevin.
Yeah, it's Kevin McCarthy.
Here's a story I didn't see. I didn't see this story.
So he has said it was a joke. Can a man make a joke? Like, that's almost verbatim what he said.
What a weird joke.
It's a very weird joke.
Kind of like the joke that Trump made to Comey.
Right. Well, it's also kind of like the joke that the CIA made to the Israeli intelligence, saying, hey, I think that the Russians have something on the president, so don't trust him with any information. Like, that's actually a thing that happened, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly.
The CIA basically said that.
That was reported, I think, in Harrods in January. They had been warned by American intelligence that they thought Trump might be compromised and you should be careful about sharing intelligence.
That's
and
we incredible. Learned, American intelligence is warning incredible. People about the president.
So getting back to sort of the original point, which is, do we think things are going to drag out, or do we think that the special counsel or the special counsel and everything else that's kind of happening is going to expedite things? So we're going to reach some kind of conclusion quickly. One of the things that I've said a couple of times, and we've also talked about, is I'm afraid of when Trump discovers the pardon power, because the pardon power is almost limitless. With respect to federal crimes, you can preemptively pardon someone if you commit an act but you haven't been charged yet. You can do a lot with the pardon power. So I don't know if this is going to be, if from a very cynical perspective, is it going to be, let's wrap this up, let's get a Patsy and Oliver North, and then let's just pardon him and move on? Or is this actually going to be we're going in the weeds, we have a lot of people looking at all this evidence, nothing else is going to get done until we have a satisfactory answer? What do you guys think?
C. I don't take either A or B. I don't agree with them.
Okay, so what do you think?
I think that, I don't think that he's going to start pardoning like crazy, because I think if he does, if he pardons a few minor figures, it's fine. But if he starts to pardon Flynn, pardon Manafort, pardon all these people preemptively, I think that would be the end of him really quickly. I mean, I think that'd be the point where the Congress, whatever, would have to just be like, even Article 25 would be like, okay, this is done, this is over. You know, I think if he was pardoning a few business associates from the past or something, okay, it'd probably fly. But it couldn't be that he's doing it in order to obstruct the investigation. I think that would really be the undoing of him even quicker than what's already happening.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how quickly he would be undone, but I basically agree with Scott. I think one important distinction to make is we're getting a special counsel, right? But a special counsel's job is only to look for crimes. They can, right. If they find a petty crime, they go after that. But if they find gross impropriety, they're not supposed to particularly pursue it. That's not necessarily what we need. Trump could maybe head off that kind of investigation by saying, look, Michael Flynn is pardoned. you know, leave it alone, that would probably make people upset at him. But there's going to be increasing pressure for some kind of independent commission, which won't just look for crimes, but will look for all the improprieties that may technically not be crimes, but might be impeachable offenses.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to happen quickly because I think Trump is accelerating it.
Right.
Normally, this would be a long process. Firing Comey should have been a long process.
And
the general counsel was looking at Comey's actions, right? But they didn't go through any of that due diligence. Trump accelerated because he just can't control himself. And I think that's going to keep happening.
Unless they can cloister him, unless it's like the 10 days before the election where they took away his... No, they can't. They can't. But it's like when they...
Not for more than 10 days. Even 10 days.
They took away his Twitter for, you know, some days before the election, and that seemed to work, but just for a short time. And then he somehow found another one. He found a new phone. So I don't think it'll work.
Yeah, I don't think, and I think it's going to, there's so many threads to pull on.
Yeah.
And I think that they're going to, it's just going to come spilling out.
So one of the storylines that was around the French election, and in particular a document dump. And can I say, by the way, this massive hack using NSA tools is a C story. Like this is not even a front page story anymore because of all the Trump stuff. And that should be a massive story. I mean, the story is NSA tools somehow got out into the wild. There was a hacker group that tried to sell them, and then when no one would bite, just release them. People put these tools on an array of computers and then hacked them all and said, hey, we're going to lock up all of your data. If you want it back, pay us $300 in bitcoins. And now it has been linked to North Korea, although there's an expectation it may take a little while to verify that. That should be a major story.
Happened in like 12 countries, right?
They held hospitals hostage around the world.
No, it was like over 80 countries.
Oh, wow.
It was a massive hack.
Yeah.
It was infrastructure attacks. And it is not even what we're talking about. Like, that story doesn't have legs.
Including like the healthcare system of England, people not getting surgeries. I mean, that level.
Right.
So, yeah.
So to me, I guess where I push back on you guys, or against what you guys are saying is, we've reached the point now where we've sort of trimmed the fat off of Trump's support, right? Like the people who were kind of wavering, whatever, have boiled away. And now there's this core group of supporters. A few are flaking off, but really it's held pretty steady, and they are compressing, or they're limiting what Congress can do. Because if Congress goes against Trump, they're going against this base that is very vigorously supporting him. And so one of the reasons why I think Trump may be able to get away with these things, even as he behaves in this crazy way, is right-wing media right now, and I try not to hang out too long on it, but you know, I look at it, the story they're pushing is a coup story, and it is the deep state plus the media plus Obama supporters plus one or two other parties, depending on if you're looking at InfoWars or Zero Hedge or whatever, are basically trying to overthrow Trump. Trump is a threat to their way of life. Trump is a threat to the swamp. They're pushing back. You have to stand strong with him. And we are seeing some people who, you know, there have been people who come out and said, you know, I support Trump, and they go on little marches. There are some episodes of violence. There was I don't know if you guys heard this. There was in April, a case at a university in Kentucky where some guy who's a conservative, who felt like conservatives weren't represented on campus, went to a coffee shop with a machete and started asking people, are you a Democrat or Republican? And there was misdemeanor, but assault. I don't think there were serious injuries, but you know, it's a thing. I think his supporters are not only locked in supporters, they are accepting a counter narrative that is only strengthened with attacks on Trump. And I don't know how they get peeled off unless...
What percentage of the people do you think that is? I mean, I'm not talking about that walk around with a machete, but people that are actually, you know, so dogmatic that basically no information will turn them.
Well, so we're 5 months into a crazy presidency, and his support among his base is, what, 80-something percent? 83, 84?
But what are you calling his base?
Okay, so
define his
let me
base.
See if I can find a poll.
I think there's probably a good 30% of the electorate that's going to stick with Trump. And that's shocking to me.
Yeah.
And precisely because of this false narrative that they may be hearing. I think Republicans are in a real bind. And I don't want to excuse them because I think they behave reprehensibly. But they have no good option here. They can either potentially impeach a recently elected president, which I don't think is a lock, even if he's done terrible things. When their core supporters disapprove of doing that, that would be a huge national crisis.
They cannot win future elections, though, and I don't even think it's 30%. I think it's less than that, but I don't think that they can. I mean, not much less. I don't think that they can win. They can win some, you know, some districts. They can win some small places. They can't be the dominant party in the country this way.
I don't know if they can survive either way. I mean, unless they have a coup. And what they do today will probably be the lead in their obituary. Everything they've done in their lives will probably be secondary. They won't be remembered for any of that except for what they do right now. And I think a certain number of people know that. I think it's like a battle formation. Safety numbers. No one wants to be the first one to break ranks. No one wants to be the last either. If you were first one to break ranks, you could be, you know, pilloried for it. And if you're the last, you're going to die horribly too. So I think that they're all sort of looking around to see which way the wind is blowing. I don't know when, if ever, they're going to rout. But there are a certain number of Republicans who have said that maybe impeachment would be appropriate if this news is true. And I think that you're going to start seeing more and more of that. And maybe Trump can ride it out. Maybe he can ride it out, especially if he can just chill for a while.
He can't.
I don't think he can. That's the thing. That's the thing that makes me think that this eventually ends badly for Trump, because he just can't stop shooting himself in the foot. And it's just going to keep coming. And even if they would like to continue to pass legislation, they're not going to get that done with Trump in office. I mean, he's going to make everything impossible for Republicans.
Man, I don't know. I'm skeptical.
Does this mean you didn't vote for him? I'm kind of confused.
Yeah, where's...
Well, you know, votes don't really count in Hawaii anyway.
That's right. It's too late.
Well, we're late. And also, I mean, we know it's who's going to win. So it wasn't really, none of our electoral votes weren't going to go to Trump no matter what I did.
Yeah, I guess that's true. You are similar to D.C., one of the reasons why they won't make Chocolate City a state is because they know it's just going to be Democratic representatives. We know how Hawaii is going to vote.
Yeah. They went 30 plus points for Hillary. We went 30 plus points for Hillary. I think that this is going to accelerate and something's going to happen quickly. But I don't know that Trump will be impeached now or ever. Right now, I predict it's giving Trump a 26% chance of being impeached this year in 2017. That's doubled in the last week.
Oh, that's nonsense.
But it's not necessarily higher than it was, much higher than it was 2 months ago. But what do you think?
That's way low.
That's too high. That's much too high.
Interesting.
Too high?
Yeah, that's too high. There's no way. You're saying two-thirds of the Senate?
I didn't read the question very carefully. Impeachment technically just means the House forwards it to the Senate.
Even that, I think, is too high. I don't, again.
So you think that they're going to go through another, okay, it's May. So do you think there's going to be another 6 or 7 months of this, considering we've had, let's see, we're about, what, four months into his presidency? So you think you're going to have.
I almost think if they don't do it in the next 6 or 7 months, it never happens, because they're going to. Right. Let's ask this question. If it were a nonpartisan, neutral Congress. Homies. Robots.
So robot.
No, but like...
If we programmed robots to be...
The kind of people who, you know, are supposed to be attorneys.
Yeah. Marcus Aurelius.
Would they vote for impeachment on the basis of what we know now or is likely to come out?
Yes, yeah.
Right? This is cause. And if...
Yes.
If this isn't enough... I mean, I think actually it'd probably take a little bit more for a Republican Congress to vote for impeachment. But if what's going to come out doesn't prove to be enough... Then I don't know. Maybe they never do it. Maybe nothing would cause them to vote for impeachment.
One thing that I saw before we went on was that it came out that Trump's team knew that Flynn was under investigation for his Turkey connections since January 6th. So they had that information. They knew that there was an ongoing investigation into him when they decided to make him national security advisor.
National security advisor, pretty much the highest. Post that needs the greatest degree of
confidence.
Yeah. And he wanted to kidnap people, right, from the U.S. Is that was sort of the plot? Kidnap Gulenists.
Yeah. Yeah.
Turkey.
When you look at this, and you look at Turkey, and Turkey is becoming very, very authoritarian.
Yes, it is.
I understand they're beating people in Washington D.C. now.
Yeah, beating people in Washington D.C. They're protesters. They're having, Erdogan's own guards went out and beat people, and the police were trying to intervene.
It's unbelievable.
Two people were in the hospital. I think one was serious injury, at least one was serious injuries. And then
unbelievable is if you Google this, you find out that Erdogan's guards have done this all over the world. This isn't their first beating they've handed out to protesters.
Yeah.
Yes. So we can all agree, robot Marcus Aurelius, 538 robot Marcus Aureliuses, would vote to get rid of Trump, would vote to impeach Trump. And
if Democrats take Congress in 2018, what are the odds that Trump is impeached if he hasn't already been?
Higher, but it's not that much higher, right? Because when we're saying impeach, we're talking House and Senate.
Yeah, let's say convicted.
We're talking removed
convicted
from
of high crimes, yes. Misdemeanors, whatever it is.
So right now, there is the advantage that Republicans have over Democrats in the Senate is not high, right? And even if it switched, so the Democrats take control of the Senate, they're not going to get enough votes to where they can hit that two-thirds majority themselves. And if they can't, I don't think... So again, the most recent Quinnipiac poll I'm looking at right now said 82% of Republicans approve of Trump's performance as president. And right now, everything in the right-wing media, and I check in from time to time, I don't look at it all the time, but everything I'm seeing is it's pushing back. They're focusing on who's leaking. Is it the deep state? Is the deep state trying to undermine Trump? Is this a coup? Until that changes. So to me, the most interesting question is, are we going to see more of a pushback by Republican leaders against right-wing media? Because unless that happens, unless they break people out of that, I don't think the base loses enough support for Trump to induce members of Congress to break. And there've been Charlie Sykes had an op-ed in the New York Times. He's written a few where he laments what's going on. He's a conservative radio host, I think, in Wisconsin, who has said, essentially, we have removed Republicans' ability to see anything other than what we want them to see. Like, we've created basically a kind of information cult, and now we can't control it. We've lost control of it. But until you see more people willing to shoulder the responsibility of taking people out of this right-wing media and say, no, these are the facts. Like, they're not all evil. Obama was not this thing. This is what's actually going on. I don't think the base comes out. I think the base continues to believe this alternative theory that's being advanced, this alternative narrative, and continues to support Trump.
I still really strongly disagree, because I think that there's not, there is a base that I think is not movable, but I don't think that that's enough to sustain him. And I think that there's a difference. I think, first of all, one of the reasons they attack the media is when you don't have any other, it's like attack the messenger when you don't have any other thing you can do, when you've lost all other logical defenses, and they don't have any other logical defense. And if the attacks are coming, if the attacks against Trump are just coming from the New York Times, you know, spouting sources, unnamed sources, it's easy to say, oh, they're just making this stuff up. If you're talking about, you know, Democrats saying things, okay, they're just making this up. But when you actually have...
We're going to have a series of Comey memos, well-documented memos that he shared with other people at the time.
Right.
If in fact that's true, that's going to be harder. But it is amazing, because Fox News, when that news came out that those memos existed, Fox was pushing the story that a DNC member was murdered because of...
Yes.
I mean, just...
It's leaking to WikiLeaks.
But Fox News also was having a hard time finding anybody to interview. They were finding any member of Congress to interview. And that was unusual. And they were commenting on it. They weren't just like, oh... we're going to talk about the murder. They're just like, we're trying to find somebody and we can't find anybody. I mean, they were basically announcing like, everybody's gone quiet. That's
right. And Republicans, they don't just have to win primaries. They also have to win general elections, and they are going to start lose. It could be a bloodbath in 2018.
And there are a lot of purple states. It's not all.
There are a lot of purple states. So. And after they passed the AHCA through the House, Larry Sabato's crystal ball and the Cook Report shifted like 20 seats towards Democrats, because that's already a really unpopular policy. That's setting aside all this other stuff that's going on. They're in real danger with the center of the electorate.
And a lot of the things too, Trump screws himself. If Trump would stay quiet, like when he first fired Comey, if he had stuck with a line of Hillary, it's not believable. But still, I think if you're his base, you could be like, okay, yeah, it's the Hillary thing. But when he finally says, it's about the Russian investigation, it's out of his own words, or it has to do with Russia, and then you compound that with Comey, with his telling Comey that he shouldn't, I forgot his words exactly, which are actually really important, but he didn't. So Trump can say, I didn't tell him don't investigate. He didn't say, exactly stop the investigation now. I just told him I think it's a bad idea or whatever. It's like, okay, if your boss comes to you and tells you, I think it's really a bad idea what you're doing, how are you supposed to take that?
He clears the room and then says, please knock it off.
Yeah, please knock it off. So, yeah. So you expect that when you bring your next report to him about what you've been doing on that same subject, he's going to give you a promotion?
And then he fires you. So first you have intent, and then he executes his threat, essentially, or the implicit threat.
Yeah, this is not exactly, nuanced conversation. So I don't think that a lot of people can sustain that line of reasoning very long and still defend Trump. Clearly there is a percentage who will, no matter what. But I don't think that's enough to mean. I think they will fall.
I think some of the issue, I want to call it Trump's hubris, but I'm not sure it's actually hubris, because I think that Trump doesn't even know. Like, I think part of the issue is Trump does not believe he needs to be accountable at all. He knows that some things
might get
him in trouble.
He's never had to be.
He's never had to be. And I think when you are, you know, a self-promoting business person the way he is, maybe you can get away with that. But I think he literally doesn't understand why any of this is wrong. He's the president now. Everyone should do whatever he wants. I think that's his view. And as long as he sincerely believes that, he's not going to be able to... He's asserting that. By asserting that he is beyond punishment, I think he's going to force people to punish him.
Yeah. And he's done this his whole life. So, I mean, he's had 3,500 people sue him for not paying, I mean, over non-payment. And so he has a pattern that it hasn't completely worked for him because he's obviously gone bankrupt many times. Yeah. But, you know, he's used to thinking that you can
But
you
if
can
you're
do
a person
things,
of color caught with a bag of weed, you're going to get a heavier punishment than Trump for defrauding people out of hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Which is appalling to me.
So here's my follow-up question to you guys, off-the-cuff predictions. In 6 months, where do you see the United States in this presidency?
It's like a singularity. It's so hard to know. Like, here's a question for you.
Let's stipulate we have white hair at this point and thick, long
beard. Okay.
Oh, I already do. It's okay.
But like, here's a question. Is Mike Pence clean? Has he been able to keep himself out of whatever collusion and whatever cover-up is going on? Because if he's not, we can have President Ryan. I don't know. Yeah, I know. I mean, I think he's probably tried to stay clean, but he's involved. He's elbows deep in some of these comments defending this or that. I don't know that he survives this. I don't know. I think he probably does, but it's on the table.
The scenario I'm in love with is Democrats retake the House. The speaker is Maxine Waters.
But that's not 6 months out. You're going long.
Oh, no, I know. I'm going a little longer. Democrats retake the House. They elect Maxine Waters as speaker. Impeach both Donald Trump and Mike Pence and Maxine Waters, a.k.a. Resistance Auntie, becomes president of the United States.
First of all,
yeah,
I don't see
6 months out, Scott.
I'd love to see the scenario just said, other than I don't want to wait that long, but I don't want to see it transfer to the Democrats without it being an election. So sure. That, I think, would be a coup. So I think, yeah, if it's I don't really look forward to a President Pence or Ryan, but that either of those seems like a better route than what we have now.
Yeah, I actually checked. So, there are no Democrats in the 17 people in the line of presidential succession. The first independent is the Secretary of Defense.
Yeah.
So 6 months, Scott, what do you think?
I think that some sort of impeachment is in progress. You know, articles of impeachment have already been drawn. If he has not actually just stepped down, somehow... Yeah, done a Nixon and resigned. Though,
Do you think he'll resign?
I don't know.
No,
he doesn't seem characterologically.
He's not that dude.
I mean, I could sort of see him say, "You won't have old Trump to kick around anymore."
The only way I could see him resigning is if somehow, you know, you have sort of like the Ford situation. If Pence or somebody, you know, basically the powers that be say, "Look, you're going to go to jail. You're going to go. You know, you're going to go hard." This is inevitable. Sign the letter and you get to keep part of your empire. I mean, that'd be the only way I'd see that he steps down, is if he would respond to something like that. Whether he would, I don't know, because this may be, he may be pathological enough that he can't make the move.
I don't know. It's interesting. If you actually threatened the Trump organization, if his and his family's wealth were really at stake, I wonder what he would do.
Yeah, that's the part. That's the part where I would say that he could resign.
It said that
I'm not sure.
He cares about.
Yeah, except there's a story about an old Trump advisor, Roy Cohn, who I think was an advisor to his dad, who purportedly taught Trump, never back down, never apologize. Just never back down, never apologize. And he's lived that. I think resigning is backing down or apologizing. I think he frames it differently.
I've seen him shift ground. He doesn't ever apologize, but he shifts ground a lot. He just bails on a lot of deals.
So how would you frame it? How do you frame that? Like, we won. I did everything I wanted
probably,
to do in
probably
six
something
months.
Along the lines of that he's, you know, what he said at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy for their commencement, which was no one, you know, people have been more unfair to me than any other president ever.
Yeah.
No.
Any leader ever. In the history
I have been treated
the world,
most unfairly
not just
of any leader
Earth,
in history.
But even in other galaxies.
Yeah.
Everyone. Yep. Exactly. Sisko on Deep Space Nine. I was treated more unfairly than him when the shape sisters replaced him. I think that must have been a storyline. I don't know, but I feel like that was. Yeah, that's that is That's a quote.
This is a commencement. This is his inspiration. Like, people are so unfair.
I know. And when you go out to save people at sea, tell them I have never been.
Tell them how large my crowds were. They were massive.
The good news. He's spreading the gospel of Trump. That's the sad thing. He's an evangelist for himself.
I know. I know. And what, like, what other settings? If he, like, opens a supermarket and he is like, yeah, welcome to Safeway. This is going to be a great Safeway. It's the best Safeway. Speaking of keeping people safe, I keep people safe with my law enforcement techniques. Yeah, I feel like anything he does now, he's going to spin into how under siege he is, how unfair it is. In terms of next 6 months, I guess I disagree. I feel like I could see this presidency limping along, his support buoyed by right-wing media, and just this desire, this now almost pathological desire from Paul Ryan to just privatize something, anything. Can just let me just privatize something, please. I just think it limps along. Like, I don't think 25th Amendment gets invoked.
I think that'd be really difficult. You need
two-thirds
really, really
of the
difficult.
Cabinet. Yeah, and like his cabinet, they're all lickspittles. Like, no one's, you're not going to get Ben Carson to be like, yeah, I'm going to turn.
Ben Carson's in line for the presidency, by the way. So is Betsy DeVos, if that makes you feel better.
I know.
This is unfortunately a friend of a friend conversation, but I just talked to last night. I talked to a friend who knows another friend very well, who was talking to Betsy DeVos, or was at a conference where she was, and she's like, he is crazy. Everybody was having a hard time not laughing when she's talking because she's just talking such nonsense. And this was a group of let's say extremely
I think that's a secret.
Extremely well-placed educators. But one of the people that you would need, I mean, you have these people who are just beyond ideologues. They're like they're not functioning from logic. So I don't know how.
Yeah, I don't see them turning on Trump
unless they thought he's gonna, I don't know. Perhaps if they thought he's going to launch a nuclear war, or, you know, something really, really, really crazy. I mean, I think
they were under a lot of pressure from outside too, maybe from outside, everyone else.
Yeah, they thought he's really become totally destructive, not just seriously destructive. I think that could be the point where they would do it, if they say he's totally become psychologically unhinged.
I think that if he goes, probably impeachment or impeachment forcing a resignation.
Right.
I feel like Atif's view is the sensible one, that it limps along and nothing happens because they control Congress, Republicans control Congress, but it's all happening so fast, just coming at you so quickly.
Sure.
And I don't see that stopping. I don't see that. It's just, I think that is the character of this administration. It's the character of Trump, that it is, he's, and I thought this at the beginning, I just didn't anticipate how strong it'd be. He's forcing this action to some level through his activity.
And I'm not seeing a mass of Republicans, of Congress people coming out and defending him, you know, wholeheartedly.
No, they're
right
saying
now.
Things like, we have concerns. We're Trump, which is just a way of brushing it off. But I don't know how long they can do that.
But it's not a defense. They're not defending him.
But I think sincerely, a lot of them must be horrified privately.
Sure.
Not all of them, but many of them.
Yes. All the on background stuff I read is they're all horrified. They all think it's crazy. I think there's a lot of money that is interested in Trump policies, right? Like everything Trump is coming out in favor of.
Money is going to kill him too.
The stock market crashed.
The stock
today.
Market's down. Yeah, companies.
But it's down.
Okay, it didn't crash. But here's the thing.
But he is promising.
I'm just going to say, I think there are two things. One is, at some point, many people genuinely care about the health of the country. As hypocritical and as reprehensible as they may have been so far, they don't really want to see the worst happen. That's point A. Point B is, I think they now know, or they now believe, that all their legislative priorities they've been sticking with Trump to get aren't going to come to pass, because they're going to be talking about this scandal, because it's going to be dominating Congress. They're going to have a hard time at this point even passing a budget by October or whenever it is, much less getting health care repeal passed, much less getting tax reform passed. I think they're going to realize that if they stick with Trump, they're not going to get what they want anyway.
Right.
And I think that the businesses are realizing that too.
Right, they're not only not going to get what they want, they're also going to lose. So
yeah,
I think.
So I think at some point they bail on. For practical reasons.
At what point?
That I don't know. But as I say, it seems like it's all happening. I'm going away for 2 weeks. But you're talking about 6 months. What is going to be happening 2 weeks from now? Like, I don't.
It's
going
to be He's going to take his face off. It's going to be a lizard.
It's almost like, I think it's safe to predict that 2 or 3 weeks from now, the political landscape will have changed yet again dramatically. There will be more dramatic revelations in the next 3 weeks. It's almost impossible
That one I would give about a 99% probability of.
This is, I guess, the underlying assumption that I don't know that there's evidence for. And what it feels like is there are narratives, right? There's this idea of where the Trump administration is going to go. And we're thinking of it like it's The Wire. Like, it has to end. They have to have a built-in end date.
No, it has to get worse.
It could be a soap
opera. It just
has
to get worse every time.
It could just be new storyline after new storyline after new storyline. We've already forgotten about past storyline.
Could get fired this week on American Apprentice?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it could just be new storylines for 2 years, for 3 years. It would be crazy. We would all get ulcers. But, like, I don't feel like it needs to come to a head. I feel like it could actually, like, right now, we're focusing on Trump. The Senate is still drafting the replacement health bill. That's not dead.
There's
the
also,
water.
But you're skipping foreign policy, and he's not safe. Oh. I mean, basically, how, including Republicans, do actually care about foreign policy. I'm pretty cynical, but I'm not totally cynical about them. And I think that they do care about foreign policy. And when you say, okay, he's leaking information about, he has the right to declassify anything.
Sure, but it's stupid in a bipartisan way.
Right,
I'm sorry, Scott,
right.
I can't contain myself. Trump is going to Saudi Arabia next week to give a speech on Islam written by the guy.
Can't wait.
By the guy who wrote the Muslim ban executive order.
I super can't
There's
wait.
No upside
I can't
to this.
Wait.
There's no way he could do this even if he were a debt politician, because he's got to explain his terrible policies. And he's got to explain that Bannon said that Islam was as bad as Nazism.
And he's not good at it. He's not good at this stuff. And this is, and like, every day that something bad happens, it's like he meets with the leader of that place the next day. It's like, you know, after Comey, he meets with Lavrov and Kislyak.
Congratulations on your war crimes. You know, would you like to come to the White House?
Yeah. And then yesterday, I mean, okay, he's one of the first people to call Erdogan to say, you know, thank you for getting congratulations for your dictatorial powers. And then he invites him to the White House on the same day that it comes, or day before it comes out that Flynn was already under investigation for connections with Turkey. You know, before he had his job.
It's like,
you know,
it's the, like, worst possible optics on everything.
Every single day. And so, if Israel's being told, don't give information to the United States by the United States intelligence community, okay, there's obviously a lot of people who are going to say, yeah, this is the swamp. These are the entrenched, you know, this is the deep state trying to, keep you from getting what you want. But I don't think that can hold up very long. Master came out and gave his talk where he was trying to avoid talking about
non-denial
about the whole scandal. Non-denial, but no, I'm not talking about his first statement. He came out the second day, and he first just started listing the travel plans of Trump. And my thought was, with each place, it's like, oh, what's he going to do there? What's he going to do in Saudi Arabia? What's he going to mess up here? What's he going to mess up there? Can they stop him from talking? Can they keep him from private conversations? Can they keep him from off-the-cuff conversations? And at some point, I think there's even going to be enough Republicans who just say this is way too much of a loose cannon, and we need to do something. If it's about, okay, he makes crazy statements about domestic policy, they can block that, but they can't block him from saying crazy stuff about foreign countries. Maybe they don't care.
I feel a teeth on this idea that maybe it just goes on like the worst soap opera ever. But
yeah, time travel, evil twin.
Exactly. And eventually, Jason Priestley has a drug addiction. But I think that eventually, like, I think that it's wearing down. I think that there's accumulation of stuff. I don't actually think it can last forever. I think that the system will break. I think it'll break.
Do you think that's true, or do you just want that to be true?
I think it's true.
I think that is probably true, but I'm not ascending a 100% chance to it.
That's the essence of forecasting to me.
Do I want it to be true? I don't know. It's not a great option either way, right? Like, I think I want Trump to be expelled by the antibodies of democracy, but that's not going to be fun for anyone either. Like, that'll be a national crisis too if he gets impeached, because a lot of people will be very unhappy the guy they just voted for and loved got impeached.
Yes.
What I want to see is that by the time he's impeached, that there's so much evidence that the vast majority of those people basically stay quiet. You know, they're frustrated. When they tried to impeach Bill Clinton, I was upset that they were doing it. I thought, this is not a national security issue. But I also thought, he did something incredibly stupid. He knew there were people trying to take him down, and he did something incredibly dumb.
I was bothered by the lying. That was just unnecessary. Yeah.
Even that I could kind of understand.
I guess you're covering up his private business.
But at the same time, he did something that he should have known was going to get him in trouble. So even as a, you know, somebody who actually liked his administration quite a lot, I can't defend everything he did.
No, HR should have had a long talk with him.
Yes, correct.
So I think that there's a point where, other than a very small fringe, if enough information comes out, and I think already we're getting towards that point, people could be upset. But also, if it goes from Trump to Pence, or even Trump to Ryan, if you're a Republican, you'd still have the view, okay, we still have our people in place. Maybe now we can start to get something done. Probably not, but it's, what's their chance if it stays as it is? I mean, if you're a Trump voter because you wanted all the things that they wanted, and you see that none of that's happening, at what point do you say, like, okay, I want to jettison this guy also? I don't want to jettison him in favor of a Democratic Congress, but is it better to get rid of him and try to, you know, go to option two?
Let me follow up on that, Scott. Let's say, and then you guys can expand on this. The thing, so a politician has a position. Right now, most Republicans in Congress are troubled by what Trump has, by the information that's been disclosed. But I think Paul Ryan came out today and said, you know, I continue to support Trump. It's early. Let's see what happens. So there's a lot of information out there. And right now, there's still this kind of at least tepid support. What changes, like, what's the underlying thing that changes that would cause this, a change in how they approach the Trump administration and Trump presidency? So we could say it's principle, which it seems like you're arguing. Maybe it's their financial backers, or maybe it is an erosion in their own support, like their own particular district of their member of the House or their state, their Senate, member of the Senate. But let's focus on the House. So in their district, which tend to be gerrymandered to be very pro-Republican, do you think there's a change in the base support for Trump? Do you think there's a change in their donor support for Trump? Or do you think they just have a change of heart and say, this guy is bad for the country, and I'm going to man up?
I think all of the above.
Yeah.
I think all of the above. I think that they lose enthusiasm from their base. I think they worry about losing general elections. Not all of them, but enough of them on the margin so they could lose the House or worse. I think that there is principle involved for some of them. And I think that they realize they're not getting the legislative priorities either way. And it may actually be worse if they stick with Trump. And I think that some of their donors are like, hey, this isn't good for business. This isn't good for me. This isn't good for the country. So I think that all of those things add up. I also wonder, I don't know if Paul Ryan survives, assuming he doesn't ascend to the presidency. He's hitched to Trump now. And well, I mean, first of all, he could lose in the House in 2018. But even if that doesn't happen, does he have a problem winning even his safe district in 2018? I'm not totally sure. This is a moment where he has to thread a needle, I think.
He seems to always have been an opportunist who's trying to, I mean, like, he obviously had a pretty public fight with Trump, you know, before the election, but then he all made up. He basically doesn't have a spine, in my mind.
Right, that's a compliment for a politician.
That's right.
Right, but I mean, even for a politician, it's beyond normal.
He is held aloft by hot air.
He can't. He's going to have a harder time maintaining his perception that he has integrity
right.
when he's been on the hot seat like this, the
right.
center of events.
I'm curious at some point if he goes down, you know, if he goes down with the ship, because he's just simply attached himself too strongly. And where some of the other people at least have been, I think the other congressmen have been smart enough to at least sort of, I would say, keep all their options on the table by essentially saying, oh, we need to wait to see, you know, what we heard about Comey sounds horrible, or what Comey said is horrible, but we haven't seen the memo. You know, if this is corroborated, then something needs to happen. That gives them an opening to go either way, you know, to be fine no matter what happens. And Ryan, I think by saying, you know, we support him, I'm not saying it's a death knell. I'm less confident that Ryan would be out of power in a year from now than I am that Trump will be either gone or teetering precipitously. But I think Trump is gone by then, by a year from now. But Ryan, I'm that one. I'm more like 50-50 on. No, I still think he'd probably be around somehow, but I'm not sure.
If Trump doesn't get impeached, what's the chance that the Democrats retake the House? Predicted gives it a 46% chance right now.
Yeah, that sounds about right, actually. Just
gerrymandering. Real Clear Politics has the Democrats at +7 on a generic congressional ballot. And I think they probably need like +10 to retake the House.
I would actually have to do hard brain work. I can't do this one from my gut.
I know, it's hard to wing. I would say 46 sounds a little high to me, just off the cuff. I think I would put it in the high 40s. Now, clearly there are historical forces at work, and we have found, well, with the Trump election, one of that professor who had his 6 points or 9 points that he uses to predict who's going to be president focuses on historical trends and the idea that people wanting change is a really strong, like independent of everything else going on in the country, people wanting change is a very powerful force.
Are you speaking about Lichtman's keys?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's right. The keys. One of the, I think the only time a newly elected president didn't lose seats was George W. Bush. And I think that there's clearly an intervening event between his election.
Something happened.
What's that?
Something happened, yes.
So yeah, something happened. A big something happened. And the nation kind of solidified around that. And I think they gained seats. I believe this is right. But in all of the cases, the party tends to lose seats. In this case, we have an historically unpopular president. So we expect the Republican Party to lose seats. But in the last podcast, we talked a little bit about a concern that I have for the next election, whether it's going to be, we sort of like talked about the question of whether or not there'd be election fraud. And then we saw, I think shortly afterward, actually, they announced that he's setting up a commission on election fraud, which I don't know many people actually think is going to really get to the bottom of election fraud. It may actually be an excuse for some voter suppression. I think there are a lot of structural forces that are designed to protect the Republicans in the House, their strength in the House. We saw, you know, there's one of the kind of underreported stories because everything is Trump and his twin sister. I don't know what the name of this soap opera would be, by the way, but we should pitch it.
As the World Burns.
Nice.
Got it. One. Well done. Yes. The in addition to the voter suppression stuff. No, I'm sorry. I forgot what I was saying because now I'm thinking about As the World Burns. Because that's a legitimately great name. There were going to be so many losses in the House. Oh, I remember what I was going to say. Another factor, another story that was kind of buried because we're caught up in the soap opera, is the census and the fact that the director recently retired or resigned, I think resigned because he was not getting enough resources for the census. And there's this fear, because the census is kind of this very sneaky, important thing, because among other things, it determines, it's when we draw House districts, a lot of how money is allocated depends on these census data. So it is a political thing to control. And there is some concern that with the census being taken during the Trump administration, there's going to be some muckiness with the data. There's going to be some messing with the data. I just think that there are a lot of structural forces in favor of protecting Republicans in the House. And so I'm, even with the unpopularity of Trump and the idea that generally they tend to lose seats, I'm skeptical it's going to result in a loss of the House.
I think part of it has to do with whether how the Republicans deal with the downfall of Trump. So if they get a good control on it, I think they could actually come out a bit better than if they just let the thing, like when we talk about, you know, 2 years from now or 18 months from now, is this thing still going to be dragging on with Trump coming out with, you know, more and more crazy statements every day and the Republicans still having to back him? I think that would be worse. But another question I have is, will the Democrats, you know, basically what will the Democrats do? What sort of candidates are they going to put up and back in the primaries? Because I think in order to get Democrats winning in purple districts or in more red districts, they still need to be centrist enough to be, you know, votable by, well, I guess two things. Either they need to be centrist enough that some Republicans will peel off and vote for them, or they need to inspire the Democrats so much that the Democrats turn out in huge, huge numbers and the Republicans just stay home.
I don't think the Democrats aren't idiots. They know they need to run people that can win. And I think they're going to have an easy time recruiting people because good people are going to think,
yes,
this is my opportunity to win in this district.
Right.
I agree with that.
I think you're right, Atif, that there are forces, structural forces, which present real problems for the Democrats. Although I also think a counterbalancing force is just the activity, how energized Democrats are.
Oh, I agree with that too.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because right now, I don't know if Democrats would be able to retake the House today.
Yeah.
But does anyone think things are, a year and a half is a long time, but does anyone think things are going to get better for the Republicans? I actually almost think they get better if the Republicans are more likely to if Trump gets impeached. At this point,
that's what I mean.
Pence could have a chance.
That's what I mean. They need to, I think if I was a Republican strategist, I'd be like, dump Trump as fast as possible.
Do it now. To rip the Band-Aid off.
And get beyond.
But Pence is less
popular. Yeah, he would be terrible, but he's a minimally steady hand on the tiller who probably won't be doing gaffes all the time.
Right.
Don't think so.
Relatively. It's all relative, right?
Do you still support conversion therapy?
No. Look, and I don't think he was a popular governor of Indiana, right? I don't think he failed upwards because nobody else wanted the position.
Yeah, he is Pence Peter. the vice president. He's an example of the Peter principle.
Even if they ask him about questions like that, I don't think those questions are going to hurt the Republican base at all.
Which questions?
Conversion therapy, stuff like that.
Yeah, the Pence gotcha questions.
Yeah, the things that that you know portray him as a very, you know, as a social conservative.
It's kind of the wrong side of history, but I don't know whether or not that is what makes the, you know, hurts the Republicans in the House in 2018.
I don't think it does.
So you think the Republicans would be in a better position if Pence was president?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. If they did it right now, if they do it in the summer of 2018, then the Republicans are doomed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, that's one reason why if they want to impeach him, they should probably get it over with. I don't think they want us to drag out into the midterms.
Yeah, maybe.
And I think one of the things, I mean, I don't know how good they are at planning strategy, but if you, I think you'd look at the person who's wounded, which would be Trump, and say, is it likely that he's, I mean, if it was like a single event and you're like, okay, this one bad thing happened and we're going to get past this and then there's going to be a bright, shiny future. But I don't see how you could see that as a Republican.
No, Trump thinks the problem is with his communications shop. That it's his press officials. No, that's not the problem. The problem is what they need to communicate at the last minute with no preparation.
Yes. It's like having a orangutan as a chef and blaming the ingredients. It's like, no, it's not the salad's fault. The fact you have an orangutan as a chef.
But just be raw bananas. That would be fine.
We're going to take a little break after this podcast for a couple of weeks, a few weeks. Robert's going to go to his personal island.
I'm going to be working on my underground bunker.
Actually, all of these stories are made up. The reality is that we don't have any idea what's happening. We don't know how to forecast anymore. So we're taking a break until things stabilize.
Yeah. All the rules are gone. Yeah. No, we continue to forecast as best we can in this shifting environment using the data that are available. But we're going to take a break for a week or two. And I think Scott and I may come in and jump in and because in 2 weeks, is what's going to be happening, but it's going to be something we want to talk about. And then we may take a little break after that, and then we'll be back rejuvenated. And I am very curious. It's weird to say, I'm very curious to see what the United States political landscape looks like in a month, because I agree with you all. I think it's going to be radically different.
I'm also curious what it looks like when we finish this podcast right now and I look at the news after the last 30 minutes.
I know. It's still.
I hate this program, but I am binge watching American history right now. I'm going to get drunker and drunker if this continues.
I know. It's been an interesting time for, I will say, so one of the things about this period of time that I've enjoyed is, my friends are much more active. Like, I get a lot more emails and texts from people saying, man, you know, what do you think? What should we do? Whatever. And my first thought, and we talked about this in a previous podcast, my very first thought is always just donate money to somebody. Like, I got an email from my law school saying, hey, we're setting up an immigration clinic to, you know, teach people about immigration law. And I was like, yeah, here's some money. Take some money, please. A lot of people, I think, are much more active in that way. Robert, I 100% agree with you. I think we're going to see, there have already been stories about people being much more engaged because of the Trump administration at a low level. And it's much easier to recruit people for campaigns, even losing campaigns. And that's part of I think Obama and Dean both had this idea that don't just pick battles you're going to win. Get out there even if you think you're going to lose and just put your ideas out there. I think we're seeing a lot of that as well. So there's
like a national civics class.
Yeah, no, that's right.
I'm not enjoying it, but yeah, I'm learning a lot.
We're all learning quite a bit about each other and about how our system functions. And you're exactly right when you say the immune system. It does feel like there's inflammation in our body politic, and we're going to see how we deal with it. We're going to see if we can respond or if it's going to spread if it metastasizes. So we'll see. But we'll be back in a little bit. And until then, please, if you have anything you want to share, you can contact us, nonprofitspod@gmail.com, nonprofitspod.wordpress.com. Leave comments, like us on whatever platform you use to listen to the podcast. Tell your friends. We really appreciate when people do tell us that they enjoy the podcast. And we'll be back.
And if you have great wisdom on how to forecast this, what's happening in the world, please pass it on.
Yes. We are open to information.
Yeah. Please tell us the answers.
Yep. All right, guys. Talk to you soon.